Pastor asked me to put something together. You know, I've been reading from that David Tripp's book on awe. And the chapter that he went into, I had to go to some other places. I couldn't just do what he was going through. Because he was talking about the church and how if we have a right relationship with God, we're going to have a right relationship with the local church. And we're going to see the importance of a local church. And in the whole process of this thing, I've also been working with my daughter and son-in-law who moved up to Seattle, Washington. And they're looking for a church. You know, I haven't had to do a whole lot of that. I grew up in a church and stayed in one church all the time. And then in different ministries, I've just gone to the church I was in, you know. So the Lord just put me in different churches. And so it wasn't a matter of having to shop for church. But I have noticed people kind of come and go a little bit now. And people, I've talked to enough church pastors and other people to see that there's a different kind of mentality out there right now towards church and what it is. Now, this is not a guide for you to start looking, okay? But I want to talk to you about looking for a church in the 21st century, okay? What it is like today looking for a church. It's a lot different than it used to be. It used to be you just went to grandma's church and you just went to that church all your life. And people didn't move around so much and that sort of thing. But now we're in this situation where we've got these big mega churches and we've got the small hometown type of church. And now we've got church plants. There's some people trying to start churches here in San Francisco. And then we've got this new phenomenon of an online type of church where people never leave their home and they just do everything from home. Now, if you're sick and that's what you have to do, that's one thing. But some people just choose it because I'm too lazy to get up and get out of my pajamas and go to church. But so I just thought it would be good for us to kind of look at this and get some ideas about the church and how to look for a church. Church shoppers. This is a mode a lot of people have gotten themselves into. Church shoppers. They move from church to church as if they are ecclesiastical department stores like Target or Walmart. Basically, I want to find a church just like I'm looking for a shirt. And I'm going to go until I find the shirt I like. I'm going to go find the church I like. Right? And I'm looking for a certain kind of church and I'm just going to keep hunting. And if you're looking for the right things, that's not a bad thing. But a lot of people are looking for the convenience and other things like that. They're shopping for a perfect preacher, which they're never going to find, or a woman's ministry, or a children's ministry, or a youth ministry, or a men's ministry, or you name it. They're looking for a certain kind of architecture, a certain kind of, they don't want to sit in a pew, they want to sit in a chair, or they want to sit in a pew and not sit in a chair. They want to have a coffee shop mentality, all sorts of things that people look for, and that sort of thing. I heard the other day of a mega church that put a Chick-fil-A in their church lobby, and then everybody was disappointed because it wasn't open on Sunday anyway. But anyway, that's just a joke. But anyway, so they have all these different ideas. There's no commitment. I'll go there because they have a really cool program this Sunday. But next Sunday, that church is going to have something else that I like. And the one across town is going to have something different the next week. And so we just flop, 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 and never really settle in to a church. The product is more important than the store. The focus is on self and personal satisfaction. What can I get out of this? Right? That's when I go to Macy's, that's the way I don't care what Macy's has to say about it. I'm not buying that shirt unless I like it, right? But people take that same mentality towards going to church. Okay? Listen, there is no perfect church out there. We're pretty close, but we're not there, you know? And we're working at it, but we're not there, okay? And so what we have to do is look at it from a completely different way of seeing things, okay? So the mega church, it's trendy, okay? This is what some people like. They like this trendiness, okay? They go to this church where they wave their hands and they got a band and they got all this stuff and it's exciting. And that's why I go to church, because they have all this exciting stuff. There's a program for everything. You know, if you have a 3-year-old, there's a class for him. There's a 4-year-old, there's a class for him, a 5-year-old. And all the way through, everybody's got a special class. Oh, and then they divide them up so they have a 7-year-old class for girls and a 7-year-old class for boys. And they have all these things because they have all these people and they just have all these programs, okay? And then they have the the contemporary service, and then they have the traditional service, and then they have a Chinese service. Whatever it is, they have these different things that they do. It's entertaining. It is fun because everything's all done for you. You just walk in, they got blue lights, they got smoke machines, they got all this stuff. And it's kind of like going to a big club. And now, listen, there are some large churches that are still preaching the gospel, and there's still some good things happening there. But if you're just going for the show, you're not right going there for the right reason. Other people go to a traditional, a hometown type church. It's traditional. This is the way I've always gone to church. This is what my church, this feels like a church to me. It's familiar, right? It is family oriented. You know, everybody gets to know each other really well. It's more formal. You get a bulletin, so you know what song we're going to sing next, and you got a hymn book, and you got suits and ties and dresses and that sort of thing. And then you and they do tend to be friendlier because they're happy to have people there. And then they have potluck dinners and they have all this sort of thing. People get drawn into that type of a church. And again, nothing wrong with these things, but we want to make sure that we're going for the right reasons, okay? And it's not just because I like the pews or I like the architecture, I like the ties, whatever it is, okay? Then there is the church plant. And this is what's happening even here in San Francisco. Some people are trying to do this, where you kind of build your own church. And you build it around the people who are there. And so they focus on small groups. They meet in coffee shops. They meet in living rooms. They meet in parks and things like that. Now listen, almost every church, including this one, started off like this, okay? Our church started off in somebody's living room, didn't it? That's the way it works. 130, almost 140 years ago, but that's how it started. And so there's nothing wrong with this. It's creative. That people have to kind of say, okay, what are the needs of these people? It's foundational. We focus on making sure when we put this thing together, all the doctrines, we're putting the doctrines all together. It's not already put together packaged like the mega church has already got it, or the traditional church has always been doing it a certain way. We're thinking through all of these things on our own, okay? And we're making sure we're doing it. And they tend to be much more evangelistic, always inviting somebody to come along, go for coffee and that sort of thing, okay? And listen, there's some things about every one of these churches that we can glean from them. You know, we would love our church to get big. We live in a city of a million people. Wouldn't it be nice to have a big church that could reach more people? Sure. Have more programs. Do these things. Sure. We want to hold on to tradition, but we don't want to hold on to tradition for tradition's sake. But we also want to be evangelistic. We also want to make sure that people feel like they're part of the thing, right? Now, this is one that I think we could do. I picked this one off. This is a place online. Don't go there. But an online church where you can kind of take it or leave it. I'm going to go to church on Tuesday because that's when I can download it. That's when I've got time. Sunday, I'm going to go to the ball game. You know, I'm going to do something else. And so I kind of, and it's nicely packaged. You can just download the part of the pod you want, the mode you want, and they've been working at it. A lot of the mega churches have these as a side issue. And even some of the regular churches have these now. Our traditional churches are having them, where people who are shut in can get to them. So it's not entirely a bad idea, but it is self-oriented. It's more relaxed. You know, you get halfway through the sermon and say, oh, I got to go to the bathroom or something. And you put it on pause and you take care of your business. You come back and get some popcorn and come back and get the rest of the message. It's non-committal. I'm only there for as long as I want to be there. I stop when I want to stop and that sort of thing. Now, this is just ways of doing church, okay? I think there are benefits to each of them. I think there are drawdowns to all of them, okay? And we got to make sure that we're not doing it just because this is what I'm comfortable with, okay? These are some quotes I got out of this book that I thought were pretty telling about people and the way they go to church, okay? Many Christians live inside the church virtually unknown. How many of you can think right now of somebody who comes to our church, they kind of slip in and they slip right out, and you don't know who they are? I see people that come in and I don't know their names. I like to, I try to, but sometimes they don't let me get to them. They see me coming and, whoa, there's a preacher, I'm getting out of here. You know, they slip in and out almost unnoticed. Sure, when we do the handshaking part, but they have to do it, they smile, they shake hands with the nice people near them, and they do that, but they learn very few cursory details about someone's life. Okay, how long have you been coming here? That kind of thing. Okay, nice to talk to you. Okay, now we got to sing. All right, they don't really have a relationship with the people with whom they worship. Okay, that takes time. Many Christians live in a Christian community where no one knows the condition of their marriage, they're struggling in their marriage, or they have a great marriage. Their struggles as parents, the places where they feel overburdened and overwhelmed, because they just slip in, slip out, slip in, slip out. We don't have time to build the relationships with each other. That's why we do the things like lunch and mingle, why we have extra activities and do things like that, where you can do that. But it's important that we develop some of these things. No one knows what goes on in the private moments of their lives. And we don't want to snoop all the time, but there are people that live in defeat and temptation, and they're tempted to doubt the goodness of God. They're just really struggling. But I've said this many times, nobody spills their guts to a total stranger. You have to build a relationship with people in order to be able to get to those places. Now, there are some people in this church that I know better than others because I've had time, been able to spend some time with them. But we all have doubts and struggles at times. Their life in the church is not the life of an essential member of an organic body of faith where each member feels the pain when another member hurts. There's a verse that talks about that. When one weeps, we all weep. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. But how can you do that unless you know each other, right? Even more believers have no personal commitment to ministry. And that's a scary thing. If you're missing, if you don't have a ministry in the local church, you're really not going to become a part of the thing. You're going to become a spectator. And we don't want to do that. And I've talked to the Wednesday night crowd. Most of you are in some type of ministry. So I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. But what we've got to do is try to get people involved in some type of ministry. They put a little money in the plate to pay for professional staff, pastors, pastoral staff. They do all that. We'll just give them some money. Listen, we can't do it all, I'm telling you. We really can't. We do what we can, but people need to live with a ministry mentality. How can I help? What can I do? How can I participate in the idea of a church? To them, ministry is a formal religious thing. It's scheduled, okay? I go to church on Sunday. The rest of the week, I do my own thing. They do a formal religious thing conceived, programmed, and scheduled by the church. If the church doesn't schedule evangelism, they don't do it, right? If the church doesn't schedule a worship service, they don't do it, okay? In this view, if you get involved in ministry, you step out of your life for a moment of ministry and then back into your private life. We talked about that before, how we have these drawers. This is our everyday drawer. This is my work. This is my family. This is my car. This is my house. This is my stuff. All right, and I'll close that drawer on Sunday, and I'll open this one up, and on Sunday I'll put on my clothes, and I'll go to church. And then Sunday I'm done. I put all stuff back in there, and I get my regular drawer out again, and I go back to my regular life. That's not having a ministry mindset. We need one big drawer. It all goes in there, and it's all ministry, right? Pastor talked about that with his grandsons. He wasn't, this is family time, and this is ministry time. No, it's all ministry. This is the way we need to be looking at life, okay? Okay? Ministry interrupts the regular routine, representing an exceptional thing for the spiritually zealous. Only people like Pastor would have ministry all the time. Not me. I'm a barber. Whatever it is that you do. Many more Christians than we would imagine have attached their Christianity to the pursuit of the American dream. I'll be a good Christian because God will bless me, and I'll have more stuff, right? I'll go to church because that's what good people do, right? They spend most of their physical, emotional, and spiritual energy gaining, maintaining, keeping, and enjoying things. Their life's about stuff, okay? Rather than investing in the eternal treasures of the kingdom of God through the vehicle of their local church. Listen, when you get involved in ministry, you're going to have plenty to do, I can tell you. You won't be bored with life. There's always going to be somebody else who needs your help. And we need to figure out what that is that we can do, okay? So, see, this is radically different. The way most people look at church is radically different than the way Jesus Christ looked at it. So let's try to look at things the way Christ would look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. Those verses are there for you. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You get the sensation of sacrifice here, right? Listen, if you love your local church, you're going to sacrifice to make things happen. You're going to sacrifice to be there. You're going to sacrifice to find a way to serve. You're going to sacrifice to care for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're going to sacrifice to go out and evangelize the lost, okay? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ is trying to help us all. You know, Pastor talks about we all want to get safely home. Well, I want to get safely home and take people home who are also going to get rewards when they get there because they've done a good job. And they've been walking with the Lord. And it's not like, okay, heaven's going to be so drastically different than the way they live down here that heaven may not be that much fun for them, you know. We want to be walking with the Lord so that when we get to heaven, it's another thing. So what is this church that meant so much to Christ? Is it a mega church? Is it a hometown church? Is it an online church? Is it a church plant? Well, maybe. Maybe yes. But the focus is not on the building, the programs, the things I get out of it. The focus is on doing it the way God wants it done. Okay? And listen, there are some pastors who will never pastor a big church. There are others that they're really good at pastoring a big church. You know, some shepherds can only handle five sheep. Others can handle 5,000. You know, we all have different gifting and different abilities, and of course you have other people that help you along the way. But when everybody gets involved, these things can be done in a right way. Again, you got to know what you're talking about. But ultimately, it's not about us doing this. This is Christ is going to build the church. So we've got to do it His way, right? And so we've got to find out what it is. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we do it God's way, the church will be successful. It's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So again, we have to be constantly going back to the Word of God, not to the latest trend. I know one pastor friend that I go and visit once. I haven't visited him in a while. Every time I walk in his office, he hands me another book. I said, well, thanks, and I put it on my shelf someplace, and if I have a need to go to that book, I'll go to it, but most of the time, I'm just reading my Bible, trying to do what God says in his Word, right? And that's the way we want to build our church, all right? So, the nature of the church, what is it? It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body, the church. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. All right? So now we're going to look at some verses here. Get your Bibles out and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and also stick your finger in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of different passages of Scripture. Okay? There are Bibles on the back table if you need one. And Seth will be really nice and go get you one if you want it. Okay? Just look at him and say, hey, go get me one. All right? But 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to start reading in verse 4, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. It says there, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. I'm reading out of the ESV. Let me switch over to another Bible so that you guys are familiar with it. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, every gift that's been given to you, you've been given different gifts. We have different spiritual gifts that God's given to us, okay? But is the purpose of it is not so that I can get something out of this, right? The end of verse 7 says, to every man to profit with all. In other words, God's given me these spiritual gifts so that I can benefit my church body, right? All right. Let's say you got a hand, okay? And the hand says, "Well, I don't want to help everybody. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to use my hand for me. And I'm not going to if my nose is itching, I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to scratch that nose. That has nothing to do with me. I'm just a hand, and I'm just going to do what hands do." How selfish is that, right? Well, everybody has a gift. And if you don't use your gift in the local church, you're being a very selfish Christian. You're saying, I'm just in this for me, right? Let's go on to verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit. God gives us things. The word of wisdom, the ability to speak. Another, the word of knowledge, the ability to understand some things by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. I trust God for everything. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these, verse 11 is the key. All these worketh that one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, it's God that gives the gifts. God gives the abilities as he desires. And so if he's given you this gift, it means he wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to just keep it for yourself. Well, we'll go on to some other things. Unique callings. Down in verse 19, okay? See, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. I'll skip down. I want to go down to the verse I really want to look at. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. All right? So sitting beside you is another member of the same body. We all belong to each other, right? That's what we do in a local church. All right? And God has set some in the church, first apostles. God's given some people ability to lead, secondarily prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, all these different gifts. Again, the idea, they're unique callings. Some of you are really good at evangelism. Some of you are just not that good at it. Some of you are really good at teaching. You're not that good at it. Some of you are just better at just cooking. I know some people that do nothing but set up chairs and take them down and take out the garbage, and that's their gift. But we got to use it, whatever it is. I drive vehicles. You know, whatever it is we do, whatever it is that we can do to help. I go visit, some people love to go visit sick people and just sit with them and hold their hand. Some people just have these gifts, and we need to help them, and we need to use them, because we all need to be used for something for the Lord, okay? Unified, again, verse 25 and 26. That there should be no schism in the body. Again, that whole idea. I'm not going to use my hand to scratch that nose. I don't like it. But that member should have the same care for one for another. Again, if you're just in this church thing for you, you're not going to care about the person sitting next to you in the pew. I just want to get in here, do my time, and get out of here. That's not using your gift, right? And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Do you grieve when Lumilla loses her mother? Do you pray for the Fong sister's dad as he's in the hospital and needs the Lord? What is the deal here? We all suffer with one another. One member be honored. You get jealous if somebody gets to sing a solo and you didn't? All the members rejoice with it. That's the idea here. We encourage each other. We pray for each other. We help each other. We bless each other. That's what this is all about, okay? Now turn into your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're working together, okay? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, that if you get that taken care of, that's going to help set the stage for working together. If you haven't forgiven somebody, you're not going to work with them. If you're angry at somebody, you're not going to work with them. If you hate somebody, you're not going to work with them, right? You set aside all of those emotions and those personal pet peeves. And how many of you ever have a pet peeve? You know what a pet peeve is? Yeah, it's something that irritates you and you like it, and so you feed it. And it just gets bigger, right? That doesn't help anybody, right? So the idea here is that we get our attitudes and our hearts right together. Forbearing, putting up with one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel, verse 13, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Do ye? If Jesus Christ can forgive you, don't you think you can forgive somebody else? Absolutely. All right? All right. And then, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What's charity? You give everybody all your money? Is that what the charity is? No, it's loving people. It's really loving people, giving to meet the basic needs of another, expecting nothing in return. That's what charity is, okay? And that sets the pace for being able to work together, okay? And verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Okay? So we're working together here. And the idea is loving each other, verse 14, that bond of that putting on charity, the bond of perfectness, at peace with one another, verse 15, the peace of God's ruling in your hearts. There's nothing between you and somebody else. There's peace, all right? There's building up one another, verse 16. You study the Word of God so you have something to give to somebody else. So you have your personal devotions, and yes, you get something, but you also set a nugget aside that you can share with somebody else. Pastor Kelly and I were talking today about, you know, I preached something on Sunday, and he's preaching something similar to it on this coming up Sunday, and we've been talking about the scriptures and how's this fit together, how's that fit together, and we're admonishing one another, we're teaching one another, we're helping each other to grow spiritually. All right, and you do that also when you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How many of you like to sit next to somebody in church and they don't sing? Don't tell me if you do it. All right, Seriously, isn't it easier to sing if the person sitting next to you is singing? You know, if in the choir and you're the only one singing your part, everybody's going, especially if you're off. And you make it, we don't want to sing real loud because we're afraid we're off. But if we hear somebody else singing, hey, I can pick it up and go along with them. And there's a joy that's built. One of my favorite things to do is to get people singing. It's hard to fight and sing at the same time. And so that's a good way. We build each other. And a lot of the doctrines we learn from songs as we go through those things. All right? And it's all being done, verse 17, for God's glory. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. Right? In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, let's go to some other things here. So, how do I help my local church? I want to hit these things fairly quickly. Take your local church relationship serious. Serious. Ask yourself. I can't answer this for you. Are you committed to your local church? Or is it just something that you do? And if you don't do it, you feel guilty. No, I don't come to church just because I get paid. Now, that helps. Because I'm a preacher. I'm glad I get paid. But I come because I want to be here. I mean, I could be in another church, but I want to be here. This is where God wants me, and I want to be a part of this thing, right? And I look forward to being with God's people. I love getting together with God's people on Sunday. I love getting together with God's people on Wednesday night. I love going out and doing ministry together with you. That's what ministry is about. That's what it's about. Take it seriously. This is not just an add-on. I got to go to church on Sunday, all right? Find rest and security in the gospel more than in people. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, there's going to be some people, even in the best local church, is going to be prickly and they're going to irritate you and they're going to bug you. I'm not going to say it. Well, I'm going to say it. There's some people that come to our church that bug me. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I think most of you would agree with me. There's somebody here that just kind of like, I really would rather not be around that one. But I don't go for that person and I'm not going to let that person drive me away. I'm there because I want to serve the Lord. Right? And I put the Lord first, okay? Be a committed student of the Word. Again, verse 16, you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not just on church services when pastor gets up to preach or your Sunday school teacher gets up and teaches or we do a Wednesday night study. You be in it, meditating on God's Word, thinking about God's Word, allowing it to soak into your life. The best messages and the best lessons do not come from staying up the night before and having doing all your study the night before. They come from the ones that you start on Monday and you work on all week long, and then they come out on Sunday because they've had time like a stew to settle in. All right? That's the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. And so when you're walking with the Lord, and you're not just when somebody has an emergency, all of a sudden, okay, where is that verse again? No. You find yourself, because you're in God's Word, all of a sudden it just flows out of you when it's time to share God's Word. Right? And then so you go looking for ministry opportunities. Who can I help today? Instead of coming to church and just sitting there and going, oh, okay, let's get this go over with. Look around the pews and go, oh, Sister so-and-so, she looks sad. Let me go over and speak to her. Oh, he looks mad. Let me see if I, oh, maybe I better not. I don't know. Maybe I should go talk to him, try to calm him down. Whatever it is. Oh, you see that mother coming in, she's struggling with the child. Oh, let me go help that child. Or an older person trying to get up the stairs. You reach up like Ray used to do with to some and help them get up and down the stairs. We look for ministry opportunities, and that's ministry. Listen, no church will ever be able to afford enough staff to cover all the teaching and admonishing moments that a church that God will give His church in any given week. Pastor Kelly, myself, we cannot sit down and have a counseling session with all of you for an hour every Sunday. We can't do it. But you can encourage each other over lunch. You can encourage each other with a phone call. Call, how are you doing? Pray with each other. Do those things, okay? How to help my local church. All those points, and then recognize that your life is about pleasing Christ. Verse 17 again of chapter 3. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. If you are living to please the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be a blessing to your church, okay? If you're just living for you, you're not going to be much help. You're not going to be much of a blessing. It's important that we all do our part. If ye then be risen with Christ, I love these first two verses. These gripped my heart as a college kid. It really did. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you're a Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. If you're going to live in heaven, you might as well start living like it, right? If you're going to live in heaven for eternity, you might as well start aiming that direction. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That old life that we used to live for ourselves, just set it aside. Start living for others. Start living for Christ. and you will find joy and peace and satisfaction. I like this quote I got from Steve Pettit. Having a connection to something bigger than ourselves makes us happier and healthier, right? Recognize that life is not about you. The most successful people and happy people and blessed people spend time on things bigger and better than themselves. I don't think you're going to find anything that's bigger and better and more eternally lasting than a ministry in a local church. So get involved, be a part of it, jump in both feet all the way, give it your heart, soul, and you will watch and see what God does in your life and in the lives of so many people around you. Pastor, you want to make any comments? No? All right, well, it's 5 minutes till. We're done a little early. Let's have a word of prayer, okay? Father, I thank you for our church. And Lord, it's not perfect, but we really do want to serve you. I'm thankful for people in this church who give of their heart and soul and mind and really do minister. And then, Lord, I think of others who come and go and they're in and out, and sometimes we're so busy in the particular area we are in or using our own personal giftedness that we don't really see the need of reaching to others. Lord, help us to be better at that. Help us, Lord, to be looking for those ministry opportunities, whether it's a lost person who comes to visit our church or just needs a little gospel witness, or it's a Christian who looks discouraged. Lord, help us to find a way to be ministering to them. Help us to unite our hearts together in this thing. And Lord, would you bless our church as we put you first in what we do and say. Help us to set aside our preferences as far as programs and size and all those things and focus on you and your word and what you want done. And we'll praise and thank you for what you do through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I guess you're done. Go minister to somebody. Get out of here.